this week on RVER, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm sorry, I can't operate on that vehicle.
But doctor, you took an oath.
That RV, it's my son's RV.
Oh, doctor, isn't there anything you
can do? I'm not a miracle worker, Sheila. I'm an RV surgeon, trained to save the lives of large injured recreational vehicles, which is definitely a real profession.
When your RV really needs saving, Progressive has you covered. See if you could save with a leader in RV insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, covered subject to policy terms.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this third day of October 2022. And we're only a month away from the November election, folks. And boy, things can get very exciting between now and then. Anyhow, we have tonight on the board Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
We have way out yonder Pastor Joe Larson.
Your assistant is here, ready to go to work.
Yeah, Joe, you know, we spend a lot of time praying for other people, both at the church, both here on the radio, both in our prayer meetings. And tonight, we need, I think, to pray for each other because you and I are both having some major, major physical difficulties. And so, with that, I'll start off by praying for you. You know what my situation is with the...
Right.
So, I'm going to hold you up, Lord. I just want to hold Joe up tonight. Let him get through this radio program. Be with him, Father God. Speak through him. Use him in a mighty way, Lord. Let your truth, your whole truth and nothing but your truth be spoken through Joe tonight, that message that he needs to get out. And Lord, too, we just would ask that you would hedge him around tomorrow as he goes for surgery. Lord, that you would be there. He would guide the surgeon's hands. You would be with Harriet, with his wife, and be a comforter to her and to Joe as he goes to this, and that he might receive a very quick healing. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, your faithful servant Ernie has suffered several injuries which have compounded and made the problem much, much worse. And I know that he's in a lot of pain, and I would first ask that you would help with the pain and helping control, and he's going to be having be tested and looked at all kinds of things, so he's going to have a rough few days. And knowing him, like tonight, instead of being home in bed, he's trying to do your will and your work. And the Lord, you would just hold him up, that you would strengthen him, that you would bless him in every conceivable way. And if it be thy will, that you would bring super healing to a broken body, that you would help mend, and if you know, not that he would get to the right doctors and the right medical help that is going to be needed in the future. And Lord, that you would just get us where both back where we can continue working, being a watchman on the wall, especially Pastor Ernie, all these years he's been your faithful watchman, and that you would help us be able to continue to do thy will in all thy way. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. We have just a couple others.
We better both do. We've got over 100 dead people. We can't do much for them, but we need to pray for those that are suffering the loss of their loved ones, those that have lost their homes, their belongings. Many have lost their jobs. It's a terrible mess down in Florida. And would you like to start leading on that? Because that's going to be a long time getting a lot of these people safe. There are people walking out. It's so bad. I heard they were on foot trying to walk out of Fort Myers to get someplace where they can get to drinking water and food and clothing, shelter.
All righty. Let me do that. Before I do, though, we do have one person in our church who is Chuck, who happens to be an older fellow like me, and he's had some severe problems with his eyes. In a lot of pain, and I'm not quite sure what all of it is, but we got an urgent prayer request, so if the folks out there would join us in prayer. Prayer is very, very important, very important.
Yes.
Folks, I want to hold Chuck up and just ask, Lord, that you again would agree with us in prayer, that God might touch him and be a healer and a comforter to him at this time, and Lord, to also be a comforter to his wife. Lord, she's always been a good wife all of these years. So you might touch him and heal Chuck and bless both him and Claudia. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Now, I want to pray for all those folks out there in Florida, especially the ones that have lost loved ones, that the Lord be a comfort to them, Joe, and to many out there right now, especially the children that have lost their parents and don't know what to do, where to go. But and I want to pray for Governor DeSantis, who's been a good man and a godly governor, and a great governor, in my opinion. And Lord, you would continue to give him discernment and leadership. And I would ask, Lord, that you would, Father God, intervene on behalf of all of those. You know who needs medical attention. You know who right now may be stranded someplace still with high waters. You know all of that. So I ask, Lord, that you would intervene, and, Lord, that you would be a rescuer and a healer and a comforter. And, Lord, you would be a provider for the things that they need now that they've lost so much. All of these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
And, Lord, I would like to add to that, I have already seen the Antichrist system start to attack Governor DeSantis, trying to take advantage, make political hay out of a horrible, horrible disaster where all hands are on deck and all the people there in Florida are concentrating on saving lives and rescuing the lost and comforting all those people that have just suffered so greatly. That, Lord, that these people, I wish they would repent or perish, but that you would just strengthen, put a hedge of protection around all of those in leadership positions down there. Be with those that are still trying to do the search and rescue. Keep all of those people safe. There are going to be people still trying to get supplies down that will be taking chances, risking their own health and life to help others, that you would watch over and bless them, Lord, and give them mercies while they continue to carry on that work. And then there's going to be so much cleanup, and on all that kind of cleanup and electrical repair, there will be danger. And this will go on for quite a while, and that you would be with all those people who are trying to restore power and do all these other dangerous jobs, that you would be with them also. There's a big need, Lord, and I just hope all the people listening are praying with me. And we just thank you for hearing our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen, Joe. Joe, the title of the message was When Righteous Indignation is Endowed with Courage. When Righteous Indignation is Endowed with Courage. And last week I preached on a message about God's righteous vengeance, and message you hardly ever hear preached on. And this is another one of those messages that You very rarely hear preached today, but it was preached by many in the old days. And so we're going to start today, Joe, in 2 Corinthians.
That's because those people in the old days were very deep into Scripture, studied hard, and followed the Bible when they preached, right?
Biblical literacy was so much greater, and faith was so much greater.
Yeah.
And those in the pulpit were, those in the pulpit, most of them, it used to be, they most of them were saved. Today, that's not even the case. And I just had a man who came to church this past Sunday, and he was a United Methodist minister. And he told me he had to leave. He had to leave because they wanted to embrace everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin. He couldn't take it anymore. And so the church told, when he told him if he kept preaching against sin, basically, he had to go. So he had to go.
He had to go. So he had to leave because he feared God more than the church throwing him out.
Right. More than a paycheck, huh?
Well, you might have found another possible unregistered preacher. He may be ready for a little education.
Well, I'll be more than happy to help him in any way we can. Anyhow, let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Read me verses 2 through 4.
2 through 4. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation.
Why do you think? Why do you think Paul said that?
Well, he is. He started out with a prayer for cleansing and bringing in the being in fear of God. So he's trying to. The church at Corinth repented, and he is happy that they have repented for what they were doing.
All right. So, and they were into sin, and basically
right.
What he was telling.
I can't remember right offhand what it was exactly that caused the stray, but it was sin.
Every kind of sin caused the stray there, and so here he goes on to say. It made it very clear because some of what would happen in those days, the false preachers would always make false accusations against Paul and God's anointed. And so Paul made it very, very clear that nothing they had done nothing worth the trouble that was upon them. And Paul had written a third letter. Actually, it was the second letter that he wrote. Read verses... 5 through 10.
All right. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that you were sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death.
All right, so he's making a point there that he's glad that they're sorry that they had failed the Lord and they had sinned against him and not sorry that they got caught doing it, okay?
Right.
And so, now he had written earlier, if I remember right, I think it's over in 1 Corinthians. Boy, I've learned something about, with the last few days only having use of my right hand, the right arm, not having to actually use my left, how hard it is to get by with just one hand, even turning pages in a book.
Right. It's very difficult. It's a lot harder than people think.
Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and read verses starting with verse 9.
I'm there too, if you want.
Yeah. He said, I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or wrath of covetous, and or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, or an idolater, or a rallier, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, or one as such does not eat, for with such do not eat with him. So anyhow, he's making a point. This was the letter, they call it the lost letter that he had sent to them. The lost epistle, actually, is what it's called.
Right.
And so he had told them they needed to repent of that fornication, amongst other things, okay? And so that's where he's coming down. Now he's telling them how he's glad that, well, when he says he repented, I don't repent of it, but I do repent. So in other words, he's saying that he is not repenting for writing the letter because he did the right thing when he wrote the letter, but he was sorry that the letter that he wrote caused grief to so many. How would do you think that might have happened?
Well, if the letter struck home and they were realizing their sin, realizing it was obvious that he saw it, he was their original teacher, there was a lot of shame, anguish, I would feel being caught in a way. He caught them in their sin, pointed it out, forced them to look at their own sin, and they were feeling guilt and shame.
So what happens often when people within the church are disfellowshipped with, how does that affect your children or family members?
Well, the ones that are disfellowshipped, they get angry and say things, and it breaks up the church, it breaks up some families, friendships, children that play together. It causes a lot of anguish.
Okay, so he goes on to say,
people that they really like may have been the sinful ones. You know, sometimes it's the happy person, the life of the party that makes you laugh, you enjoy their company, but they're the ones that's leading you astray. So anytime there's a church is like a family. The brothers and sisters in Christ, they're like a family, and if you have to kick someone out, it's breaking up a family.
Absolutely. How does that also affect, say, the leaders, the pastors in the church, when you have constant squabbling, when you have in some situations? I know over the years I've really had to deal with a load of it. In fact, if I were to disfellowship with everybody in the church that somebody thought should be disfellowshipped with, I'd probably be there by myself. Okay.
You might have thrown yourself out once or twice.
Yeah, and so...
What a bad day. You know, I've been mad at myself a couple of times for things that I could have done that to myself, you know, imaginarily. But, yeah, it's extremely hard on the pastor. He's doing the right thing, but still he's causing problems and pain. You know, if he doesn't do something that destroys the church, if he does, it still damages the church, but... Sometimes you have to cause pain to save something, and that's what Paul's saying here. You have to cause some grief and pain and anguish to save something.
Right. And so here again, let me finish. He says, in all the things you have proved yourself to be clear in this matter, wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for this cause that had done the wrong, nor for the cause that had suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. In other words, so what happens when people have something or they have gripes in the church and they go to the pastor and The pastor doesn't agree with them right away or you know, give them what they want. The first thing they say is the pastor, well, the pastor don't, he don't care about me, right?
Yeah, I guess that would be one of the first things.
And so, now where does this come from? Who, where does, I often say that the first one in church on Sunday morning is the devil, you know. We get there because we know...
The devil is always in church because he's there to, what, cause dissension. He's there to separate. He's there to do what he can to destroy the fellowship.
Right, to divide and conquer. A house divided cannot stand, can it?
No.
And so, if we go over to Proverbs 69, let's go to Proverbs 69.
All right.
And I do want to, I don't want to alarm the folks out there listening, but I have like a temporary, hopefully it's temporary, loss of my...
Proverbs only goes to 31.
No, Psalms. I said Psalm 69.
Oh, Psalms. I thought you said Proverbs. Yeah.
Maybe I didn't and lost control.
Yeah, Psalm 69. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you read verse 24?
Okay. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them.
Okay, so now this is in a precatory prayer. That whole chapter, there's an imprecatory prayer by King David. And because these people have done evil and wickedness. So when we often pray, in fact, you just did earlier, Lord, that either bring them to repentance or please remove them.
Yeah.
You know, Whoopi Goldberg is a really wicked woman. I mean, she is extremely wicked, extremely unclean. I heard her brag about how many babies she's killed. She just recently came out and made headlines when she said, you got to keep abortion legal so that women can get rid of those toxic things inside of them. Let me tell you what's toxic. It's her heart. It's a black heart. Whoopi Goldberg is an extremely wicked and a racist person. She's full of hate. And she hates God. And Whoopi Goldberg, folks, if anybody out there listening has any contact with her, you need to tell her that I said she needs to repent. Because there's a special hot place in hell for people as wicked as she is. Now, here's what David said. And read verse 28.
I was just going to say, we can't go without reading 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous.
Amen.
Blotted out of the book of the living. He's saying that these people that are doing these kinds of things deserve hellfire.
Absolutely.
Because
now there's
if
seven.
Your name is not in the book of the living, you're not going to heaven.
Right. Now there's seven other books besides the books that the 66 books of the Bible, the canon. But there's seven other books that are mentioned in there. One is the Book of the Living. And David had asked God not to blot him out of the Book of the Living when he had done what?
Yeah, when he had committed adultery and killed the husband.
Right, Uri, when he had murdered Uri. He murdered Uri.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so...
he had somebody do it, but he ordered it, which is...
So do people often confuse the book of living with the book of life?
Probably. Well, I guess sometimes I get it confused too.
Yeah, they often will do that. Now, there's other books, the book of war in the Bible. There's one, the book of remembrance. And speaking of remembrance, we'll be back right after this.
Today, we're all going to learn a new term. It's only two words. Now listen closely. Can all of you say constructive fraud?
Constructive fraud! Did you ever get the feeling, as you're staring at the ceiling, that this game of life we're playing fair seems as fast as we can make it? There's a hand that grabs and takes it till they plant us in a grave somewhere. Like a rodent on a treadmill, we keep pushing for it uphill, but we never seem to get too far. Well, if you think you're being taken, then you're ready to awaken to the truth of what we really are. We're all indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some socialistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is, we're all saps who pay our taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. Could the state of our condition be the product of omission, what we didn't learn in public schools? And did our fathers all through history all fight and die for liberty so we could play the tyrant's fools? And can you call it education when it's all indoctrination to obey the hidden powers that be? Did we fight the revolution? Did we win the world wars just to slumber into slavery? We're all indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some humanistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is, we're all saps who pay those taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. While Franklin and Eleanor were telling us they hated war, they made a deal behind our backs. They said the bankers could enslave us for a portion of our wages, and today we call it income tax. But what they failed then to tell us was the way they planned to sell us into statutory slavery. Now it's called constructive fraud. Some even claim the wrath of God. I call it social insecurity. Let's stop being indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, and reclaim our lost posterity. Rise up and proclaim liberty. It's high time we rock the boat and make some waves. 'Cause as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb. They'll starve us on their communistic crumb. And the naked truth and fact is, we don't have to pay those taxes. Yes, it's time we show those banksters, those international gangsters. So let's turn the tables and spoil all their fun.
That's all. Alrighty, we're back. And he went home to be with the Lord. He loved the Lord. It was Carl Klang in 2019, in January, I believe it was. And Carl was very, very talented. I mean, he was one of my favorite artists, and very talented and smart. He got it. Carl got it. He saw things coming, and he was a good dear friend, and he was going to come up here to do a concert with us too. And well, the Lord decided that he needed him up above. So dedicate this program to you, Carl. You always were such a patriot. Anyhow, we're going to go. That song that we just sang, we got John McTernan joining us. John, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
Here's an article by J.D. Hayes that goes right along with that song. Federal Reserve goes authoritarian, sets to force banks to adopt social score system for customers similar to communist China. We have to avoid using their currency. We have to totally avoid. What does that mean? That means barter system, big time. A lot of places do that. We actually do it here on a small scale. But we have to get away from this very, very, very corrupt government and banking system and go barter systems. Our government systems continue their left-hand anti-freedom Marxist shift, which is leading to the development of parallel systems that conservatives are flocking to. For decades, the federal government and every level had been infiltrated by left-wing ideologues who are authoritarian by their very nature, and now the Federal Reserve is joining the fray. As reported by investigation journal Jordan Schachtel on this Substack, the Fed has taken a major step in the direction of facilitating an ESG-compliant monetary network that effectively acts as a parallel system to the Chinese Communist Party's infamous social credit scoring system. And so, again, we while we're here, as long as the Lord tarries, what we've been doing for a long time, a lot of us, and we're going to small, we go to small businesses, we try to avoid the big box stores, we avoid Walmart. Folks, if you're smart, you'll do that. If you're smart, you will do that and not have apathy. You know, ask yourself what kind of person you are, because you need to avoid these places. Go to small business, give them your business, and because they're going to be the ones that are be willing to go with you into the barter system. So what do you guys say about that?
Go ahead, John. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, they're making it, as the system gets more and more wicked and more anti-God and more, I guess you could say, anti-American, they're forcing us to improvise and to come out of that system as much as we can. Because I can't, there was a Kroger store, which is a grocery store here in not too far from my live, and it was a good store, and we liked going, and good quality. And then I found out that they were big time with their money, giving money to all the hard left causes there, mutilating children. And
I wouldn't go to Kroger or Walmart. Gave $300 million to burn, loot, and murder.
Yeah,
or Target.
Yeah.
Or Target. Target was another really bad one.
Target really kind of let it off, I think, years back when they were allowing perverted men into the ladies' room. And there was rapes and assaults at Target's, ladies' room with these. They were allowing perverted men in there. So, yeah, Target should be out of business. And so we have to, one by one, eliminate those. We cannot go in there when they're using profits to advance wickedness like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, here's the other thing. Go ahead, Joe.
The money, basically, we have to start realizing, and I know I've said this before, I feel like a broken record, that we are in the middle of a communist revolution.
Yeah, we've been preaching that for many, many years.
Long time, but people have to wake up and realize they have to fight back. We can fight back in many different ways, and one of them, like you said, is where we spend our money, who we trade with, support the businesses that follow the rule of law, that are godly, that are doing the right thing. And we need to, because you can fight with your money, we need to start speaking out. And Bible says reprove and rebuke. If a reproof doesn't work, a rebuke is even stronger. I remember the story, in the name of Christ, stop this. We're not standing up and speaking out. And we have to remind the church to get involved in politics. How many times we've done something on this show, how many Christians are not registered to vote? How many Christians don't vote that can vote? It's millions and millions and millions between the ones that didn't bother to register and the ones that don't vote that should. If those 20, 30 million people were voting, no matter how much the Dems cheat, they can't win an election. We could break this revolution simply at the ballot box. So there's so many things we could be doing, but the pulpits are silent. The pulpits are not talking about the church militant, the church victorious, that we need to get out there like you do, run to the battle, fight this good fight of faith. And that's the whole problem. It's we aren't, you know, there's all kinds of things we could do, but we first have to define that we're in a war. Two, we're willing to go and fight for what? Our children, our grandchildren, the future of the nation, and for our God, because we are fighting the Antichrist system. It's a spiritual battle at heart. So the whole thing is more of a to me, a great big picture, and that was just one part of the battle. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's how I see it.
All right, let me ask both of you this. James 4:17 says this, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." It Amen. Is sin. So when the Bible tells you that we are to again, stand against tyranny, resist tyranny in every form, and when our enemies, when these stores like Walmart and Target, when they're supplying our enemies with arms and things, is it not stupid? And is it not a sin when everything they stand for is against what God's Word, the Bible, teaches? Okay, so is it not a sin to even go into those stores and be to partake of those stores?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Pastor. When they're using the prophets to do these destructive things, it's like they're using capitalism, you know, the business like Kroger's now, they're using capitalism to fund money to destroy our system. I mean, Black Lives Matter is avowed communist. There's no debate over it. There's no question.
And all the leaders were avowed Marxists. They said all were trained Marxists, all three of the major leaders.
Yeah, and on their website, one of their goals was to destroy the family unit. That was one of their goals. So how can we support a store that's going to use its profits to destroy us? And again, they're all going after the children now. And I'm in the Houston area, Pastor Ernie. And in fact, we discussed this a while back. And these sport teams, these baseball teams now, 20 out of the 24 teams are really big time supporting these hard left causes. And the big cause right now is to mutilate the children. They take these little confused 8-, 9-year-old, 10-year-olds, even older, and they start chemically castrating them and cutting the girls' breasts off and all. One of them leading the pack is Houston Astros. So I made copies of the report that I have, and I've been handing it out to the people. You can't support them.
No.
You can't.
Here you go. Here. This is an article by Cassandra Fairbanks. Seattle's Children's Hospital vows to keep performing gender surgeries on children. Here, Seattle Children's Hospital is standing by its mission of providing gender surgeries for children. Many of these irreversible gender surgeries consist of removing healthy body parts and leaving the patients permanently sterilized. It goes on to say, the pediatric hospital has a section on its website specifically to gender surgery. So let me ask you this. Would it be a sin for people in Seattle, would it be a sin to take their children to this hospital if they could take them anywhere else? If they could take them anywhere else, would it be a sin to take them there?
If they know it. Well, yeah, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, the puberty blockers that they're giving the very youngest ones, when they're given to an early stage of puberty, can permanently impair sexual function. In other words, the patient may never have an orgasm. And the blockers they give can move these cross-sex hormones that cause permanent infertility. So whichever side you're on, they can cause major damage from pleasure, ability to have children later on. And we know these studies, we've talked about them over and over, that most of these children, you know, 80 to 90% of these children, if left alone, not pushed by somebody, just clear it up on their own, come to a conclusion, and do not want it at the end. It's only because people get in and push. I'm looking at an article right now where they're talking about there are now as many as 300 new pediatric gender clinics have opened in the U.S., and it's because there's been a 4,000% increase in the number of children wanting to, you know, go through some of this stuff. And I remember you and I were on the radio, Ernie, where we were talking about one school, this one little girl decided she wanted to transition to a boy, and within 60 days, about six of her friends decided that they were transgender too, and they wanted to be boys. And what we saw was this, you know, follow the leader syndrome that children do often, you know, what's cool, what's in, like the, oh, I remember so many fads. Wait, there was a TV show, Dr. Kildare, way back when I was a kid, and, I don't know, teenager or something, and all of a sudden the girls were all wearing Dr. Kildare shirts. And it's this follow the leader mentality, and most of these children are just following what some adult tells them or want to be cool at school because the cool kids are getting the attention, everybody's talking about it, and they don't want to be left out. And so much of this is psychological, and of course it's spiritual warfare underneath, the devil trying to destroy the image of God, right?
You know, it's insanity, and it's right from the pit of hell. It is. It's right from the pit because what that is, it's really a way of blaspheming God.
Yeah.
And so, and here, the Bible makes it very clear that God kept man, kept dominion of man for himself. So it's a way of transgressing. You know, they transgress against the property of God. They God's dominion. It's like they're breaking into the house of God. And boy, there's going to be some pretty harsh payments for that, isn't there?
Well, especially, you know, the Bible talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. I'm looking at this article, and there are several doctors. One of them, Dr. Shane Taylor. She got Nashville to get into the gender transition game. It's a big money maker, especially because the surgeries require a lot of follow-ups. Puberty blockers cost about $1,200 per month. Pharmaceutical companies making a lot of money. Implants cost $4,500 to $18,000. And it goes on, and there's so much aftercare, and they keep talking doctor after doctor. This is big business, big money, and it's especially profitable because there's so much patient coming in, so many doctors' visits. And this one surgeon said a female-to-male chest reconstruction, they call it reconstruction, I call it, you know, butchering, could bring in almost $40,000.
I've heard
just on, yeah. You know.
I've heard a number of those girls wish they had never done it. Oh.
Oh, there's so many that are that come out of it later. There's suicides that come out of it, and they go, "Why did I do this?" We did. I can think of four or five stories like that we did on the radio.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's like
Pastor Ernie, I wanted to add to this. Now the FBI is going to get involved in this.
Oh boy.
Here's the article, or the headline. Leading medical groups demand Biden Justice Department and tech platforms crack down on reporters exposing child gender surgery and puberty blockers.
Oh, like we just did on this radio program, right?
Yeah.
I got
right.
Well,
yeah,
FBI, for all the FBI listening out there, I went to WND.com, and the article, Highly Profitable Pediatric Gender Clinics Opening All Across America, offers psychological, medical, surgical interventions for children and it talks about how much of this is done on children 12, 13, and 14. They said most are 15, but often even these breast removals, children 13 and 14. Hey, you can't even, remember, 18 up to 18, you had to go to school, you had to get permission from a nurse to take an aspirin, you know, without parent approval, but you can go have your breast cut off at 13. Good Lord, people, well, think about that.
They did the same thing with abortion.
Yeah.
They did behind the back. They took a lot of girls to the abortion clinics during school time, and the parents never knew it.
Yeah, amen. You're right. We talked about that. That was something that started long ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, long ago. I mean, you had to call before you could give your kid an aspirin or something, and yet they could take them to the local abortion clinic during school without the parents knowing it.
Well, you know, there was never one case at all of that being done with a homeschooler or a Christian school, only in the public school system.
Yeah.
And so that is why for 50 years we've been telling people, if you love your children, get them out of that public school system. Get them out of there. So there you go. Now we're living, you know, I had a woman say to me, well, my pastor says that when you say that it's a sin to go and shop at these places like Walmart and that you sound like you think you're better than other people. And my response to her was, who are better, the righteous or the wicked? She said, well, the righteous are better. So then who says that? How do you know? She said, well, it's in the Bible. So if God says the righteous are better than the wicked, are the righteous better than the wicked? She says, you got a good point there.
Yeah.
How about that?
Be righteous if you're supporting, if you vote for a politician that is pro-abortion, pro-sodomy, gay marriage, you are promoting, advocating those sins. You are saying not only, well, I tolerate it, but I'm going to elect a person that promotes it and encourages it. So you know, what was that old saying? If you're not part of the solution, you must be part of the problem.
Yeah, well, what does God's word in the Bible? God's word in the Bible tells you about that in several places. Exodus 20, for a good example, and also it tells you there in Proverbs 24 and Proverbs 17, it makes it, it tells you that people that do that should be cut off. God says they need to be cut off.
Cut off.
And Proverbs 24 says the people that do that, that let the people curse them, that all of society should curse the wicked people that do that. Did God get it wrong?
I don't think God can make mistakes from, you know, when you're, whatever you desire happens when, how you want it to, that's perfection. It doesn't get any better than that. So, no, he can't make mistakes.
All righty. I got an article here for you guys. Here you go. You ready? Wayne Root says, Biden is not in charge. Here is exactly what's happening. Where do we hear this before? Listen, where do we hear this? Now, listen. Our country is being destroyed. It's clearly a purposeful communist attack upon America from 1,000 different directions. But the president isn't Biden. He's just the figurehead, the puppet. The real president is Obama. Do you know who else said that?
Somebody named Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, but there's somebody else that said that, and that was Obama. That was Obama, yeah. So here now, this is clearly the third term of Obama. His fingerprints are everywhere. And he goes on to say, Joe has gone completely bad. I mean, no president can legally serve three terms. Hence, the need for a figurehead. Biden is just a DDD, a dummy with dementia and diapers. He says, whatever is written on cue cards and signs whatever paper is put in front of him, that allows abomination to run the country from the shadows. As long as they feed Biden his baby food, change his diapers, and allow him to sniff little girls' hair, Biden does whatever his handlers want him to do. But Biden isn't the brains of the operation. Obama is just a communist tool. Obama takes his orders from Team Communist Suicide Bombers, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, George Soros, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, and of course the boss of all bosses, the capo, Dituti, China, and the Chinese Communist Party. Well, it's somebody else knows that besides us. That was an article, by the way, by Wayne Root.
Yeah, well, to go along with that, it's kind of a sidebar, but a prominent billionaire has come out, and he's reminding us of a few things that we are in deep, deep trouble.
You're talking about Billy Gates?
What?
You're talking about Billy Gates?
I'm trying to see where I've got his name here, and I can't.
Oh, okay. It's Bill Gates. Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway, he came out and reminded us that our national debt is $30.9 trillion, just about $31 trillion. That's 125% of our GDP. And if you go and look at that U.S. debt clock, which I look at frequently, the unfunded, remember that word, liabilities for Social Security and Medicare are now $171 trillion. The people of this country that are bringing this country down are bringing it down because of greed. They sell out the country for money, the love of money, the root of all evil. We've got these politicians that are selling out America to get rich and powerful. And what are they doing? They're throwing all this money out to buy votes. They build up this huge national debt. They promised by buying votes to give benefits and things. And he's saying by 2027, the interest expense on the debt will eat up all the health care costs. By 2027, that's not far away. The interest on the debt. And just think right now, with this inflation, interest is going up and up and up. You know what that does? That makes the interest of the national debt much higher real quickly, and it is not how you pay down debt by increasing the interest on it. He said by 2047, the debt will exceed all discretionary spending we have, and by 49, it'll eat up the Social Security benefits will be all gone just in that, in our debt. It's kind of scary. He's saying we have a very limited future in this country. If we continue on our wicked, evil ways, we're going to be gone as a nation. We'll be a junk bond junkie, before too long, within 25 years. We'll be over.
This is exactly why, Joe, we've been talking about people learning to go to the barter system. Now, within this country, you have several counties where they have their own script within the county, and there's something that they do. This is what we need to do. We need to, our different counties, we need to have our own script. And, maybe combine four or five different counties, and where they have their own script, backed by gold or silver. It needs to be backed by gold or silver.
Or something usable like food or meat, cattle, vegetables, something that people really need, right?
What do you think, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, they're forcing us to do it. I mean, the dollar is going to be worth nothing. This is all planned. None of this is...
John, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back right after this because we're up against a hard break. Be right back.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.